Please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, page 1303 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading the first two verses. We'll turn to a passage in Philippians after that. But meanwhile, we have a lost gold tone kind of bracelet on it. It says, "I love Jesus." And it was found in the ladies' bathroom by the bookstore. And I confess to having broken it while it was in my possession. The little clasp just needed a little bit of bending, but so if you lost this, I'll buy you a new one. Anybody lose this bracelet? Then it'll be in Mrs. McKinney's office for a short time, just after the service. Okay. We'd better pass things from this end of the line from now on, if you want it to be safe. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Let's read these two verses, please, all together. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Turn now to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and that's on page 1259 in your Scofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading the 12th verse, just that one verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Let's read together. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Let's pray. You're a wonderful Lord. We thank thee, we praise thee for your goodness to us. We thank you for this evening's service. This is probably the finest collection of Christians anywhere in the world. We're thankful for our church family. And certainly we're privileged to listen to the finest preacher anywhere in the world. And we pray for him tonight. And of course, we want him and his dear wife to have a wonderful winter vacation. We pray for your blessing upon them. Thank you for your goodness, for helping us as you do. Now help us to get what we should out of the service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm speaking tonight from two passages you read a while ago. A text is found in Philippians 2:12. This is the title and the text of my sermon, "Work Out Your Own Salvation." Work out your own salvation. Now that I want to use that as the ingredients of a sandwich, and the bread on either side is this. Jesus is the author, Hebrews 12:2, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author of our faith. He's the finisher of our faith. And God admonishes us to work out our own salvation. I trust that you'll give me a very rapt attention tonight. I'm going to be a little bit difficult to understand, I think, in some areas here. If you listen to every word very carefully, I think it'll help you. Our Heavenly Father, I come now to preach once again behind this place that I love so dearly, behind this most sacred piece of wood in the world to me, where I stood for these thousands and thousands and thousands of times to open this same book and tell about it and teach it and preach it. And tonight I pray you help me to do it aright, and may the people be blessed, encouraged, and in some cases changed and transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a preacher brother who sent his son to our college. And I went to preach in his church, and he told me that his son had ridden home after a few months in our college. He said, everybody that stands in Howells Anderson College says this truth can change your life. He said, I've been changed in a time. I don't even know who I am, Dad. But here's the truth that can change your life. And anything within the covers of that book can be life-changing to some extent for you. So listen carefully as I speak to you on work out your own salvation. Never mind, fellas. I'll get that. And I can't believe John broke that little girl's bracelet. Yes, I can believe it, too. But I'm sure the diamond-studded bracelet by the coast will reimburse you for the money that the diamonds cost, several carats of diamonds in that bracelet. Let me use the platform tonight as the distance between salvation and, between justification and glorification. Salvation is not just when you first trusted Christ as Savior. Salvation is a gradual thing. Don't misunderstand me. Once you trust Christ as Savior, you're going to end up in heaven. That all is that's cared for. But the word salvation comes from the word salvage. God saves your soul, and then he wants to save your life, and it's a gradual process. I'm going to let this part of the platform over here represent the day that you trusted Christ or the night you trusted Christ as your Savior. I'm going to let this side of the platform over here be the time when you awake in the likeness of our Savior, and you are like him, and you will see him as he is. Now, in between those two times, we have our spiritual growth and our journey from salvation to heaven. Now, I want you to notice this. At both ends is God's work. He is the author of our salvation, and he is the finisher of our salvation. Now, in between that is our business to work out our own salvation. That doesn't mean work your way to heaven. It means work all the way until you get to heaven. That's what it means. It means from the time, it's sort of like a fellow who, when I was a paratrooper in World War II, I was in about 2.5 years, and I'm supposed to work all the way through that time. From the time you get saved to the time that you meet the Savior, you're supposed to work out your entire tenure, if you please, of salvation. Now, here's where we get in trouble. God is the author, or Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. Jesus is the author of our salvation, and he is also the finisher of our salvation. Now, men get in trouble, and they meddle with what's his job. See, our job is to work between here and there. It's his job to get us saved. Ah, but men say, I want to help here. I want to get saved living a good life. I'm sorry, you're not the author of salvation, Jesus is. But I want to get saved by joining a church. I'm sorry, the church is not the author of salvation, Jesus is. But I'm going to go to the priest, have him forgive my sins. He has enough to take care of on himself. And if you go confess it to him, suggest he in turn confesses his to you. And it'll take him longer. But anyway, I won't go into that. But no, the priest is not the author of our salvation, Jesus is. The baptistry is not the author of our salvation, Jesus is. The communion table and communion cup is not the author of our salvation, Jesus is. And so we get in serious trouble when we do not do what we're supposed to do, but try to do what he alone can do. Likewise, over here on the other end, only he can make us like himself. There's no, our charismatic friends have what they call the doctrine of sanctification. Some of them even think that a person can live above sin. Boy, they sinned when they said that, because lying is sin also. But they get over here and start meddling with God. Now, you will not be completely above sin until you see the Savior face to face. He is the finisher of our salvation, and he is the author of our salvation. So you keep your hands out of the offering of salvation. salvation, that's his, and you keep your hands out of the finishing of salvation, that likewise is his. Now, in between that salvation that he authored and the salvation that he will someday finish is the job, our job of working. We're supposed to work all the way through. Now, what does it mean? Hear me carefully. I'm going to give you several little statements here and listen carefully. One, my job has nothing to do, I'm sorry, let me go back. One, I'm going to call this the means, I'm going to call that the end. Now, he authored my salvation, he saved me, and now between here and there, I am to do what God commanded me to do, and there is the end out there. Now, the second thing I want to say is this, my job has nothing to do with the end, nothing at all to do with the end. My job is simply to do with the means. Thirdly, and that is this. My job is to use the right means, so forth. My goal is not the end. Follow me carefully. I'll never be like him until he makes me like him. Consequently, he's my goal. But my goal is not, I'll never reach my goal in this life. I'm supposed to strive to reach my goal in this life, which is Jesus, but I'll never reach that goal because he not only is the author of my salvation, but likewise, he is the finisher of my salvation. So, consequently, if the end is my goal, I may be tempted to use the wrong means to get there. You preacher boys get this. The end should not be your goal in serving God. The means should be your goal. You forget the cake and be interested in the recipe. God will take care of the cake. And if you don't watch out, you'll get your eyes too much on what you want to achieve someday that you will not use the proper means with which to achieve that end. Now, I'm saying this. Let me give you an illustration. In politics, I don't care if the politician is Mr. Clinton, or Mrs. Clinton, or if it's Mr. Gore or Mr. Bush. In this respect, they're all alike. They have an end to get elected president. I do not think that that is a worthy end. So what do? They do what they can to attract the white vote. They do what they can to attract the labor vote. They do what they can to attract the Spanish vote. They do what they can to attract the black vote. They do what they can to attract the women's vote. What they ought to do is do what they're supposed to do and forget trying to put this one on the cabinet over here so you can get this vote and put so many of this color and so many of this color, sort of a rainbow coalition, if you please. Now, the honest, simple truth is the old politicians weren't interested in that. They had a job to do. They had something they're supposed to do, and they're interested more in the means than the end. Likewise, the same thing is true concerning pastoring. No, hear me pray, young preachers, no preacher ought to have as his end building a large church. Let me say it again. No preacher ought to have as his end building a large church. But what you're supposed to do is take care of the means. You preach the word, you be instant in season, out of season, you exhort and rebuke as God has told you to do, and live the kind of life you're supposed to live, and forget about the end out there, because if you don't watch it, you'll do what the liberal folks are doing and the contemporary people are doing. You'll build your church so you can reach that desired end out there. And he said again, the end is not your job. He's the author and he's the finisher. Your job is not the end, your job is the means. So you need concerned about the kind of life you live, preacher, young preacher. You be concerned about how hard you work. You be concerned about this book that you preach. Don't you trim it for anybody. Preach it exactly like it is. And don't you say, I'm going to build a big church someday. In the first place, you're not in the church building business. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. It's my job to supply the means, and it's his job to take care of the end, because he not only is the author of my salvation, but he likewise is the finisher of my salvation. For example, an evangelist wants to be a great evangelist. He wants to conduct great campaigns with thousands and thousands attending. So what does he do? He yokes himself up to the national council of the churches. He yokes himself up with all the liberals. We had an evangelist come here one time to this city and conducted a meeting out here. I think it was at the Martin High School football field. I didn't cooperate with him. You know why I didn't? Because he had everybody, liberal, those that believe the virgin birth, those that don't, the Catholics and the Baptists and the liberals all in the meeting. I'm sorry. What he was trying to do is get a crowd. Now listen carefully to me. Your job is not to save America. Your job is to obey God and obey this book. Now, God will come near saving America if you put the right means in and you try to get the end of it. So quit looking down at the end and just get the right means. This church wasn't built because Brother Howes wanted to build a big church. This church was built because I came here 41 years ago. I've done everything I can to do exactly what God said to do and build exactly like God wants it. And God has made this church. He's packed this building. I haven't. He's built this church. I haven't. Now, that's why it's dangerous. It's dangerous to look out there at the end. That's not your job. That's his job. He's the author. He's the finisher. It is your job simply to work out all the time that you're saved between the time you trusted Christ and the time you awaken his likeness. It's your job to work like he said to work, pray like he said to pray, preach like he said to preach, teach like he said to teach, live like he said to live, win souls like he said to win souls, and it's his job to take care of the end. Now, it is never right for you to do anything outside this book to reach an end. Did you know God is that way? God is a just God. And God said the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, God, when man sinned, God, in order to be just, had to send man, judge him, and sentence him to eternity in hell. Jesus comes along and authors our salvation and says, Father, I'll go, I'll live a perfect life, I will not sin, I'll go to the cross, and I will suffer man's hell for him. But God said, that satisfies me because the price will then be paid, and that is justice, and that satisfies me. But hear me carefully. God will not let anybody get to heaven outside his justice. And the outstanding attribute about God is not his mercy, though it is outstanding. The outstanding attribute is not his grace, though it is outstanding. The outstanding attribute is not his love, though it is outstanding. The outstanding attribute about God is his justice. And God will let the whole world go to hell and let the whole world burn forever before God will do anything unjust. Now, the same thing ought to be true about Christian people. You forget about your goal. We have too many goals. I'm not against goals, but I don't like a lot of them. Because if you don't watch out, you'll have a goal out there, and you'll trim your life and trim your message in order to reach that goal. I say it again. He is the author of our salvation. You cannot save yourself. It is God that does it. You trust what he's done. It is God that finishes it. And it's our job to work out our salvation, but not to try to get to the end, but try to use the means. The end is God's business. The means are our business. So, let me make a few statements. My job is not to reach an end, but to journey rightly towards it. The truth is that God has placed the end beyond my reach. Matthew 5:48 says, be ye therefore perfect. I can't do that. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. I can't be like him. But that's my goal. My goal is to be like him. I cannot reach my goal. And isn't that wonderful? No matter how good a Christian you are, you've still got some progress to make. The Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian ever lived, said, I have not yet apprehended. What he meant, I've not yet arrived. And by the way, no Christian ever has arrived until the finisher of our salvation does his finishing job on us. Consequently, are you listening to me? The truth is that God has placed the end beyond my reach. So you'll never arrive. Observation. He is my goal. He has arranged it so that I cannot reach my goal until I see my goal. Observation. You don't miss this one. I can never become what he wants me to become, but I can be becoming what he wants me to be becoming. Let me say it again. I cannot ever become what he wants me to become. He'll take care of that when I awaken his likeness. But between the authorship of my salvation and the finisher of my salvation,
I can become more and more like Him. He knows I can't be like Him, so He doesn't expect me to be like Him. He expects me to be becoming like Him. And if you're not more like Him today than you were last year, then you're backslidden. Next observation. So our job is not to arrive, but to journey. Life is not a destination. Life is a path. And that path has no earthly end. In other words, from the time that the author of my salvation saved me to the time that the finisher of my salvation makes me like Himself, it is my job to be on the way, on the journey, doing what He said doing, like He said doing it, where he says to do it. I'm to provide the means, I will never reach my goal until I see my goal, for He is my goal. So I am to keep growing until I see Him, and He finishes it. He wants me never to arrive. That's what the psalmist meant in Psalm 17:5. I shall be satisfied when I awake in Thy likeness. And by the way, as long as you're in that clump of flesh you got there, you're not going to awake in His likeness. You're never going to wake up in the morning in His likeness till you wake up and see Him face to face. But bless God, between His authorship of your salvation and the finishing of your salvation, it's your job to be closer to His likeness and closer to His likeness and closer to His likeness and not be satisfied. The psalmist said, I try to be like Him. I can't. I try more to be like Him. I can't. I may even get more like Him. I can't. But I'm not going to be satisfied. Well, you folks are satisfied right now where you are. You're just satisfied. I don't know and I don't care. All I want is my rocking chair. I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But you're not supposed to be satisfied until the day you awake in His likeness. And you're supposed to keep on going and keep on going and keep on getting more like Him and never be satisfied until you get like Him. And you're going to say amen to this. I'm a hypocrite. Thank you. I don't practice what I preach. I preach the end, which is to be like Christ. I practice the means, which is to be becoming like Christ. I preach the destination, which is perfection. I practice the journey, which is growth. So nobody, I'm supposed to preach this book. Somebody said, you ought to practice what you preach. You can't practice what you preach because what you preach is to be like Him, but nobody can be like Him until you see Him. It's my job to preach my growth and closer to Him and closer to Him until He who was the author of my salvation finishes my salvation when I see Him. So listen carefully. The closer I get to the goal, which is Jesus, the farther away it seems. The closer I get to the goal. The people here who are the best Christians, you see more distance between you and where Jesus is tonight. And if you think you're a good Christian, then you haven't come very far. The closer I get to Him, the more dissatisfied I get with myself. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. The year the king was I died, I saw the Lord high and holy up holy, and His train filled the temple. And Isaiah said, when I saw the Lord, I said, listen to me, young people. Young people, listen to me. I'm preaching to you. Listen to me. Listen to me. Look at, hey, young lady, listen to me. I got something to tell you. You're going to come, you're going to talk. Hey, young lady, hey, you're going to talk, go outside. Listen to what I've got to say. Don't chew and gum there. Don't chew and gum. I'm talking to you. Sit up and listen to me. I'm trying to say tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it's time that God's people got dissatisfied with where they are. It's time, and by the way, the closer you are to Him, the more dissatisfied you'll get with where you are, and the farther you get from Him, the better you'll be, the more you'll be satisfied with where you are. Illustration. I have a shirt here that I wear often. I put that shirt on, it doesn't look right. I wear white shirts. That shirt looks about as dirty as Brother Moffitt's t-shirt did last Sunday night. But I put that shirt on And I said, you know, my sister bought this. She buys all my shirts for me. And my sister bought this shirt for me. She thought it was white. Just part of her senility. She thought it was white. I put it on the first time, and I thought it was white. Do you know how I found it was white or not? I got a white shirt out and put it beside it and discovered the shirt's not white. I'm colorblind, so I don't know what color it is. I think it's sort of a tan, isn't it? Sorry. Answer me. Off-white? It's not white. It's off-white. It was on white. Now it's off-white. I know it's off-white, but what color is it, baby? I have worn that shirt time and time again, and somebody says, I didn't know you wore colored shirts, and I said, I don't. I wear white shirts. And I go back home and put this shirt beside the white shirt, and I find it is not white. See, your problem is you've gotten so far from Jesus, you look pretty good to yourself. You look pretty white. And let me tell you something. The closer you get to him, the more you'll see your imperfection as you compare it to his perfection. For he is, when you see him, the plumb line of his law lets you know how crooked you are. But if you put that plumb line there, you won't know how crooked you are. Because you put your imperfection close to his perfection, you won't realize how imperfect you are. There are a lot of folks tonight who think you're pretty good. And the reason you think you're pretty good is because you're pretty bad. You're not close enough to put yourself up beside Jesus. Quit comparing yourself to a bunch of backslidden pagan Christians and put yourself beside Jesus. I must confess I have another color problem, and so do you. I have the hardest time telling if pants are black or dark navy blue. How many men have that problem? I have a call. For example, I was out soul winning, and I won the fellow to Christ. And I said, do you have any questions? He said, yes. Why is it you have one blue sock on and one black sock on? I said, sir, both of these are black. I said, that one is black? And he said, put them together. The way I tell if a pair of pants is navy, what do? You get your pair of black pants that you know are black, put them up beside the navy pants, and that's the way you tell. And your problem is, it's been so long since you've been close to Jesus, you look pretty good to yourself. You cannot start your salvation. You cannot finish your salvation. But you can work out your salvation. Forgetting the end, work out, become better and better and closer, and grow and grow and grow and be more like the Savior. Isaiah said when he saw the Lord, woe is me. He didn't say, woe is thee. Woe is she. You gossips are not close to God. I said, you gossips are not close to God. You folks that criticize each other, you're not close to God. You folks that spread tales, you're not close to God. If you're close to God, you'd say, woe is me, instead of woe is he, or woe is she, or woe is thee. The more trained the voice, the more critical one is of his own performance. The better the preacher, the less satisfied he is with his preaching. The better the artist, the more demanding he becomes of himself. The closer one comes to perfection, the farther away he seems to get. And the nearer you, the closer you are to being like the Master, the more you think you are not like the Master, because you'll be closer to him, and the closer you get to him, the more imperfection you'll see in yourself, and when you see the imperfection, then you'll want to work out your own salvation, if you please. So, he is the author of my salvation, and he is the finisher. Tonight, if you're not saved, quit trying to save yourself. Can't do it. Give to the poor. Give to the United Fund, Divided Fund, all you want. What do you want to give to? Live a good life, turn over a new leaf, quit your drinking, smoking, cussing, and so forth. But you cannot work, you cannot make your own salvation. He is the author of your salvation. And he is the finisher of your salvation. But it is your job and my job to work from the time that the author begins this edition to the time that he finishes it. It is my job to be more like him and be working out my own salvation. So, hear carefully as I come to land. He is the author of my salvation. He started it, and he will finish it. My job is in between. If you spend as much time working out, working all the time you're saved, quit trying to think about the end and think about the means. As you do trying to save yourself, and don't you get wrapped up in some of these preachers just because they preach against the same things we're against. I was hearing a fellow the other day, and boy, he was a great pulpiteer. And he was a conservative politically. And he was against drinking, against smoking, against rock music. And ladies ought to wear these decent feminine clothes, and men wear masculine clothes, and all of that stuff. But the guy was wrong on salvation. Don't you get hooked up with anybody because it's charisma if he gets mixed up on who the author of our salvation is. He's the author of our salvation. And don't you get hooked up with anybody that thinks you can arrive, because you'll never arrive until he finishes your salvation. He is the author and the finisher of your salvation. My job is to use the proper means to get this statement. My job is to use the proper means to travel toward an end I cannot reach and I cannot determine. I'll never reach my goal. I sang this morning, I think in my Sunday school class, "Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Oh, to be like thee, pure as thou art. Come in thy goodness, come in thy sweetness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart." And that's my job. That's my desire. That's my goal. I want to be like him. But you wait someday till I get there. You'll see me in heaven, and you'll say, "Good morning, Jesus." And I'll say, "I'm not Jesus." "Why, you look like him." Little boy over there in the hallway walked up to me, little busted, had his hands in his pocket. He said, "Mister, is you Jesus?" I said, "No, son, what makes you think?" "Well," he said, "my bus worker said, but come out here to the church, I'd meet Jesus, and you're the one everybody seems to talk to. You must be Jesus." "Well," I said, maybe I am. I don't know. I was out in the alley, walking down the alley, saw a little lady who rides the bus and her little child, both of them very poor, poorly clad. I saw the little boy's shoe untied. I bent down to tie his shoe. I started to walk away. She said, "Oh, but Brother Hiles, you don't have time to tie the shoes of every boy in the church." And I said, "No, ma'am, I'm not going to tie the shoes. I'm going to tie the shoes of that boy, because he and I are, what are we, son?" He said, "We're buddies, that's what we are." I bent down to tie his shoe, looked up at his mother and said, "Mother, did you see Jesus tie my shoe?" I got Miss House and I celebrated our 7th anniversary, I think it was. The church gave us a money tree. We have planted that thing. We fertilized it. We watered it. But also they gave us, as you often done, notes. And back in those days, we only had about 700 people attending way back down there, maybe 1,000 or so adults. And so we read the notes together at the table. And one little lady said, she said, "Dear Brother Hiles, I've tried to decide what to say about your 7 years with us." She said, "I remember the time that my husband was going to kill me, and you came down to the house and stood between, in front of the gun, loaded gun, between me and my husband, and saved my life. You won my family to Christ, my children to Christ. You fed us and clothed us." And she said, "Let me simply say that, Brother Hiles, the thing I can say about your 7 years, that I think you have walked with us for 7 years like the Master would have walked if he was our pastor." And I said, "That's not true. But that's my goal. That's my goal." And so from the time that as a little boy, not quite 11 years old, in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas,
when the author of my salvation saved me, justified me, sanctified me, and prophetically glorified me from that time until the time when I awake in his likeness, it is my job to work out my own salvation, which is becoming more and more and more like him. That's what it's all about. Ask your question. Where are you? He authored your salvation. Some of you are right here. And you've been here for years. And some of you have gotten to a certain place. You think you're pretty good Christians. And you've been here for years. But my Bible says you're supposed to keep on working on it. You're all the way. Oh, the whole term. Suppose I'd have said to the sergeant about 6 months before I got discharged, well, you were in the service, and you guys were. Of course, Roy, you couldn't pass the physical, the mental it was, you couldn't pass, I'm sorry. But suppose I'd have said, Sergeant, I think I've done all I want to do. I get up when I want to get up. I'll do what I want to do. I'm on schedule. No, you worked until the last day I was in there. I worked out the 2.5 years I was in the United States Paratroopers. And God says you're supposed to work out your own salvation. Now listen carefully. Forget. Your job is not. That's his job. He offered your salvation. He will finish your salvation. Now, in between, it is your job to forget the end, and you provide the means. It's his job. I've often said this. Wives, it's not your job to become a good wife. It's your job to meet your husband's needs. I want to be a good wife. Forget that. That's a selfish motive. An unselfish motive is, I want to meet my husband's needs. Or I want to be a good husband. Forget that. You just try to meet your wife's needs. I don't have a desire to be a good preacher. I don't think I am. Never have thought about it. Never have a desire. I don't necessarily want to be a good preacher. I just want to meet your needs when I stand behind this piece of wood right here. And that's what God says. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, or to be like thee, pure as thou art. That's my goal. That's what I want to be, and that's what I'm working toward. But I'll never arrive in this life. But someday, the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and I'll rise to meet him in the air, and I shall be like him, for I shall see him as he is. Work out your own salvation. He's the author. He's the finisher. Keep your hands off the authorship. Keep your hands off the finishing. And in between, you provide the means, which is obeying what he said to do, and do what you can to do what he wants you to do, like he wants you to do it, where he wants you to do it. That's your job. Work out your own salvation. Bow your heads, please.